This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 122. And on this episode, we're talking to James Schramko about creating a leveraged business. So if you're looking to buy back more time and work even less, this episode is for you. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, I'm really excited this week because I've got James Schramko, who you may have heard of. He runs a really successful business called Super Fast Business, which is a membership site, live events, and a high-level mastermind and coaching program to help online business owners. Now, you've probably heard of some of the people that he's coached with, and he'll share some of the results he's gotten on this interview. But I was really excited to get him on and kind of share somebody outside of the typical online marketing space with you guys. Now, James talks about some really awesome stuff, like how he's been able to focus on one business for 10 plus years, how he creates consistent content for that business, and his methodology for creating content. So we're going to talk today about leveraging your time, how to create consistent content, how to create that focus in your business. It's going to be a really, really great interview. Now, before we dive in, I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by my one-day live implementation training in San Diego on June 28th, where we're going to have a live in-person training to walk you through setting up successful converting Facebook ads. Now, when you join me, you're going to learn how to write Facebook ad copy, discuss what stands out and converts in the newsfeed. We'll set up custom audiences so that you can actually convert leads into sales. We'll go through an actual setup of your Facebook ads, and you'll actually have time to set up and run your Facebook ads, where I'll personally be there to assist you with the creation of your ads, which is why we've limited this event to only 15 people. So if you want to join me for a live in-person implementation day for Facebook advertising success, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/San Diego. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/San Diego. Early bird pricing ends Thursday, May 16th at midnight. So you want to grab your ticket before Thursday, May 16th, if you can. Again, we are only opening tickets until we fill 15 spots, and we expect them to fill up pretty quick. And we've got early bird pricing until Thursday. So there you have it. Hopefully we'll see you in San Diego. And with that being said, I'd like to dive into our interview with James Schramko. Hey, James, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm thrilled to be invited. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to have you because you run a really successful online business and you don't kill yourself doing it. And you've done some really amazing stuff, you know, without having a million affiliates. You're really leveraged. And I think there's a million different ways we can go with this interview. But before we kind of dive into like so much good stuff, can you tell our audience a little bit about you and your business?
Okay. So I'm James Schramko. My business is called superfastbusiness.com. It's been around for a while. I primarily coach online business owners from that website. It's been going for 10 years in its current version. I also have a higher level group called Silver Circle, where I tend to coach quite high profile online entrepreneurs. Many of them are fairly famous, and you'd know lots of their names, the famous bloggers or e-commerce store owners or agencies. So I'm really getting a great little group to concentrate on. And the main thing I bring to these people is some real world experience that I gleaned from my previous job, which was a general manager in a Mercedes-Benz dealership. And that was about 11 years ago now that I quit that job for my online business. But in that role, I learned a lot of actual business things. And when I came to the online world, I realized, you know, there's lots of kids, students, people who were employees who just didn't have, you know, hadn't worked for a big company, never put on a suit or tie. Or some people are struggling with things like sales. Other people are struggling with things like financials, Other people don't know what business model or strategy to use. And almost everyone struggles to build a team and systems. So they're the sort of skill sets I brought to the table and have found a nice little niche for myself.
That's awesome. Now, I'd love to talk a little bit about Superfast Business as a model and a membership, because you've launched that membership really successfully without, you know, without sounding super cliche, without hustling or killing yourself to do so. Can you tell us a little bit about the membership and how you've built that up? And, you know, I've talked to some people about what you've done. One of our mutual friends, Angela Henderson, and I love that she admires how you've really managed to do it with healthy boundaries and without working 24/7 to fill it up.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a 10-year story. And yeah, there's not that many, you know, gurus or experts when you look around who have stuck with anything for a significant amount of time. A lot of people seem to shift from this to that, to this to that, you know, and a lot of them tend to be good marketers. That's a common thread. Most of them are great at being personalities or performers, as I probably more look at it. They're performers, they make their videos, they write good copy or have someone write it, and they sell stuff. My approach to it was, in the beginning, really came from a supportive, caring perspective, because my group started as a bonus. About 11 years ago, there was a guy who I met who was doing affiliate marketing, and he was very good at it. He was doing over $100,000 in a day sometimes. And he decided to make a course teaching people how to do this. And I realized that this course was going to be too high level for most of the audience who are going to buy it for $2,000. So I made a bonus that should someone buy the course from me and I get paid the commission, which I fully disclosed, I would actually coach them for the duration of the course privately, in addition to what they got from this guy's training. So I could supplement it and help them out. And when people purchased and claimed for me, I entered them into my first community, which at the time was called Superfast Results. And what I did is set up a situation where if they stayed past the duration of the course, then it would start billing. And to my surprise, everyone joined under that condition. No one questioned it and no one had a concern about it. And then at the end of the course, I'd done such good work with these people that about 75% of them stayed. And that was the original membership. From there, I started speaking on a few platforms, sharing my message about online marketing. And as part of my package that I would sell from stage, it would be to come to a live event. And they would also get access to my membership for 60 days. And that also included access to tools that would help them build websites and, you know, do the things that I was teaching in the course. So I started running events about 10 years ago as well. And that fed the membership from the platform. So I had affiliate marketing as one source. I had my platform. And then I started podcasting also about 10 years ago. So think about this. I've run the membership site, events, and podcasts for a decade. And over that time, I just keep building and building. In fact, you were a guest on my show, Zach.
Yeah.
Just adding expert content, serving my market, especially with the podcast for free. I've just recorded my 666th episode on the Superfast Business podcast. But all up, I've actually got over 1,000 episodes in my podcast account because I had 4 other podcasts for a few years there. And I just keep feeding the front end of that membership with videos and podcasts. So for the last year, for example, if we take that as a sample, I've published over 300 videos. We've published a video or two every single business day for the last year. And that now feeds my membership as well. So I had this beautiful front end, and that allowed me to have an organic, natural wave of clients. There was a period there for a while where I had affiliates the first few years, but then I stopped that. I saw a few problems with the affiliate program that bothered me, and I stamped it out. So I canceled that. And I ended up where I can drive my own traffic and do my own conversions. And I've never had to rely on big launches. I don't need affiliates. I didn't have to spend a lot on paid traffic for many years, probably about 8 of those years. I didn't actually do paid traffic for my membership. And it's a business where I can do it on my own terms. Because it's mostly forum-based, I can go in there and answer questions in my own time, can take as much time as I want to carefully consider my answer or to help someone very quickly, linking them to something they need right now. And I've managed to keep the number of members very consistent for the last decade. That is almost exactly about the right amount for what I feel is comfortable. That allows me to serve that community in sort of 30 minutes to an hour a day. And by just turning up often and persistently adding value over the long haul, I've taken all the spikiness and peaks and troughs out of what almost every other entrepreneur is experiencing. And I know this because I've coached a couple of thousand people now, and I do see the consistent trends and patterns.
Mm, that's really good. And what I really love is that you said it started as a bonus for something else that you run, where you basically paid attention to what people were looking for and were responsive to the marketplace. And you've continued to run a really thriving business. The other thing that really stuck out to me that I would love to kind of ask you a little bit about is you said you managed to build it up about 8 years without paid traffic. Do you think it's still possible to get results without using paid traffic?
Absolutely. You know, I just took my last year of videos as a sample, and to my surprise, I just logged into my reporting tool. I use Wicked Reports, and the attribution for free social media channel, which is primarily my daily videos, was around $200,000 over the last 12 months came from free social media videos. So that number is going to grow significantly, because what that doesn't take into account is how long someone stays in my membership. My current active members stay for 3 years. So that number is probably going to end up being $500,000 to $600,000. Wow. From what I did in the last year, when it compounds over time. So yes, I do believe right now I'm advising people, and I've made specific training on this, to do short social media videos and put them into the popular platforms, because that's where you can build your audience. They do work. They definitely work for me. And I wouldn't consider myself an amazing performer. Like, all my videos are shot on an iPhone in one take, without a script. So my standard is pretty low. You know, you don't need DSLR cameras, external recorders, amazing lighting, incredible studios, teleprompters, scripts, Hollywood, you know, direction or any of that stuff. If you just want to get on the camera and put it up to your favorite platform for where your audience is, whether it's, in my case, I seem to resonate with LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram the most. But we also publish to YouTube and to Twitter. And I'm not that fussed about Twitter these days, but people watch them. And some of the videos don't have that many views. They might have 10 or 20 or 50 views. But so what? If it's the right 50 people, and over time they're moved by what you have to say, and you put a call to action, which is what I've just recently done, is I put a very short call to action video. I had a friend of mine visit me after my live event. And I had this box sitting there at the front door with leftover hoodies and books that we gave as gift bags at the event. Each bag had 5 books and there were some hoodies. And I said to my friend, his name's Tamash, I said, just grab the camera. He grabbed the camera. I said, film me. And he filmed me, and I just grabbed a bag and I said, hey, James here, just done my live event. I've got a couple of these gift bags left over. If you join my Superfast Business membership community on the annual plan, I will send you this package. I've got 10 left, and you know, until they run out, and you may not get exactly your size by the end of it. So be quick. And then that's it. He recorded. So one take, we put that video up. I think we spent $400 on Facebook ads to help boost that video. And I've sold 10 of those packs at $2,000 each.
Wow.
And that's just putting out a call to action in front of the audience who's been consuming and snacking on my videos for ages. And it's to also to a remarketing audience, tracking people who have visited my site or watched my content. It's the easiest audience to put a message to. So it was very straightforward. It really didn't take much of my time. Thankfully, I didn't have to set up the campaign because I don't know how to do it. So I have a friend of mine who from time to time dabbles with my Facebook account as a student. I coach him with his business and he tinkers with my account. And the packages were left over. They were surplus from my event. And it just worked out great. And a few other tools that you can use to really zoom in, and I think you hit upon the sweet spot before, is you've got to know your audience. It's like the first rule of copywriting or any kind of business. You've got to know your market. I know my market well, but I also do survey my audience from time to time, and I pay attention to their responses, and I'm open-minded about their advice and feedback. So I surveyed my audience. I actually surveyed all current members and all past members. So all up, there's about 2,000 people in that sample size. I think it was 1,700 because over 7 years from where this sample size was collected in my Intercom account, a few people unsubscribe or fade away or become hard bounced or whatever. And I asked them what advice they have for me. And I took all their responses and I grouped them into three categories. Advice that I outright reject because I'm either not going to do it or it doesn't make sense or they don't have enough context or they're just a fruitcake. You know, that what they're advising is ridiculous. Then there's advice for stuff that they've told me that we already have. So I clearly need to communicate better that this already exists. And then there's the advice that I am going to take and make changes upon. So I took the advice, I made changes and then communicated the changes. And I won back a lot of past customers through this campaign. And I also was able to run a campaign for people who came to my event who weren't members of my community, because remember, that was one of my original sales funnels. It's the best sales funnel, I think, for a community is a live event. Someone who comes to a live event sitting next to everyone else who's a member of your community will have a hard time not joining. So I sent to that small sample group of people who came to the event but weren't members, I sent them a specific campaign inviting them to become a member at the same time, and also incorporated a price change as part of the advice that I got. Some people wanted a different level. They wanted two tiers. So I put two tiers and I had a run out campaign on the last pricing at the old price. And we just had a bumper month, like a huge month of sales that, you know, considering that at the time of recording this in the market, there's huge promotions going on for mastermind programs from big name gurus. I've endured the curse of a Facebook group, you know, for the last 8 years or so since they came out. They didn't exist when I started my membership. I'm still running on a forum platform, which we use an app to interface with. So it's not brand new technology. So there's a few obstacles. And I'm, in general, I'm not a famous person. I have a small email list. I don't do big launches. I haven't had everyone putting my name out there. So I'm just sort of on the sidelines. But if you have a coordinated campaign of email, video, social media, if you look after people and have really good product and people get results and you can actually retain customers, and if you do put a bonus and some kind of scarcity, like a valid time limit or a price saving, you can really have a fantastic campaign without spending a whole lot of money and without making your life a misery. Like I still went surfing every day for the last month. I still logged in and answered my posts. So nothing really changed at my level. It was just the coordination of a few well-written and timed emails and some technology. And of course, I have to credit my team. I do have a little team in the Philippines who have been with me for a long time, and they are amazing at helping me coordinate things like setting up the cart and the emails and the pricing adjustments and making sure people onboard smoothly and checking that people got logins and following up inquiries who, you know, ask about it but weren't quite sure, that sort of stuff.
That's awesome. And what I love so much about this is that you found the business that works for you. And I think so often in the online marketing space, people are like, well, you need a seven-figure business or you need to bring home X amount of dollars. But you found a business where, and I'm not saying that you have a certain level of revenue, but you've created a business.
Well, and I absolutely do. I mean, it does. Yeah. It's a seven-figure profit business, which
is amazing.
It's great. For the effort I put in, for the reward I get out, it's leveraged to the right amount. It's not a supercharged, turbocharged, nitrous-boosted rice burner that's going to blow up. It's more like a turbo diesel that can chug away all year long, every year, and consistently throw off a huge profit because the value is there for my customer, and that's the baseline of which everything must be measured.
Yeah. And that's what I really want to get at, is that you managed to find the medium of you're running a massively successful business, yet you are not sacrificing, you know, surfing every day or spending time with your family or doing the things that are important to you. So if somebody's listening to this, like, you know, if I think back to myself just a few years ago when I was getting started, I think, well, I need paid traffic or I need to leverage paid traffic. But you're saying, just go out on organic social platforms and start building. So what are some things that we can do from like a tactical perspective to start putting our message out there and make sure we're reaching new people? Because the big thing that I hear from my audience is like, well, organic reach doesn't work anymore, or I'm not going to reach many people with my Facebook posts, or don't I need to run an ad to build up a Facebook audience? And you're saying, no, you don't, which I love. But what is like the first step that we take to creating this content and putting it in front of the right people? Because I love that you said, you know, some of our videos get 50, 60 views, but it's the right 50, 60 people. So how do we start doing that?
Yeah. So even the step before that is, you know, and this is really it's the key to my business, and it's so often missed, and it's kind of too subtle almost. Avoid the need to find new people to start with, if you possibly can. So my decision to work with the same people over and over again was a critical factor in how I've set my business up. Like, just looking at the numbers, since I started tracking statistics in the beginning of 2012, January 2012, I've added about just under 2,000 members to my community. I still have 503 of them. So I've managed to retain 25.5% of the members who have joined me in the last 7 and a bit years. So most businesses are churning all their customers all the time. So if you have a one-time business model, then your need for new people is going to be dramatically different than my need for new people. I have a fantastic business if I just add a member every day or two. So you might want to boost it with paid traffic if your business model is a revolving door business model. If every single month you start from zero, then that's when all the stress happens. Every single month, my business starts on six figures, and whatever I add is bonus. So that's a big difference. Your business model is going to dictate your marketing model. If you need new people, then you must know your perfect people. You have to know them better than they know themselves, and you create the perfect content that they need. So where I get the information from to make my content, and you know, I was having a walk to the beach with my son yesterday. We walk every day together, which is a really nice ritual. And he said, "Dad, do you ever run out of things to talk about with the videos?" And he goes, "Do they even work?" I said, "I think they do. I'm going to check for you." And I had a look. I'm like, "Yep, absolutely, they work." I said, "You know, I just take people's questions they ask me and turn them into a short video. I use a three-part framework. I call it T, because you can make the video in about the same time it takes to boil a jug," which, by the way, I found out in the United States, they don't use jugs like we have in Australia so much, do they? They tend to use stovetops to boil water.
Yeah, no, we don't really have electric kettles here. We don't really use them.
Right. Well, everyone has an electric kettle here.
Yeah.
same as when I live in the Philippines, you know, we have a rice cooker. No one uses a rice cooker in Australia. People microwave it in a plastic dish. Anyway, side topic. T stands for the topic, like what are we talking about? E is explain it. So I just talk, you know, explain what the topic is. And then A is I answer it. So, you know, you can use this format really easily. Like anytime someone asks a question, you can turn it into a little tea video, and it will take about 1 to 2 minutes. It used to be important when I started doing this a year ago to keep it under 1 minute because Instagram had a 1 minute limit. But now it could be 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. It's fine because you can use that Instagram TV option where it still previews in your feed. So I designed this specifically to be Instagram friendly. And yeah, you can take anything from your support desk or the questions people ask you or whenever you're coaching someone, write down the things. I'm sure I could make 50 videos from this particular podcast episode if I just use the notes that I've jotted down as we've been talking, because we've already covered a buffet of business topics here. And this simple format's all I've been using, nothing tricky. It's so simple, you can do it without a script or writing it down or teleprompting. And I think like almost every single video I've done one take because it's just not that complicated. And I like simple and easy. So I would say understand your audience so well that your little T videos are hitting the mark, that people are nodding their head like, yes, absolutely, thank you, this is very helpful. And they're going to snack on it. And these days, the platforms make it pretty easy for people to watch the next video and the next video and the next video. I've actually had people say to me that they got onto my video and then kept watching them for the next like 30, 40 minutes straight. They must have watched literally 20 or 30 videos in a row. They're like just snacking on it. And people have a micro attention span and they do watch a lot of video, 5 or 6 hours a day. So make it in the platform that people like to consume. Put it in the places where they're consuming it and make it really relevant. And it's okay for you to have a call to action.
That's awesome. So what really stands out to me is like, it's not about building a massive platform. It's about building an engaged platform of people that actually care about your content and meeting your audience where they are right now, whether you have a massive audience or a small audience. And would you say that it naturally grows as you create relevant content? Like, are you asking people to share your content? The one thing that is always a hang up for myself and my audience is like, if I put it out there and only 50 people see it, then how do I reach the next 50 and the next 50? Or are you saying, don't even worry about that, just create really good content? Yeah,
I don't worry about it. I just keep producing. I'll outproduce most people. I mean, I've consistently over the last 12 months put out videos every day across those multiple platforms. And of course, when I say I mean my team. I record it on my phone and upload it to Drive. That's the last I see of it. And the rest happens with the team. And if you want to, you know, people are going to, they're going to drill you, Zach. They're going to say, oh, what about, I don't have a team, or how do I get to all that myself, or how much does that cost, or isn't that expensive, all of that. Look, you could have 3 or 4 people in your team for $2,000 or $3,000 a month, full time, and they'll do all of that stuff, plus your bookkeeping and send emails and everything else. If you train them over time, you can have a great team. So for me, that's really the main cost in my business. My marketing cost is my team wages, and they do a damn fine job. We also produce 2 podcasts a week. So this year, in 2019, I will publish around 100 podcast episodes because we found a good run rate of 2 a week. 2 a week will generate me more sales than 1 a week, but not much more than 3 a week, almost no change from what I've found. And from some of my students as well, people who I coach, like Pat Flynn, for example, when he went to daily, it didn't really move the needle on sales any more than doing 1 or 2 podcasts. So that seems to be the sweet spot. And I think the podcast for me is where I generate the most sales. And it's definitely harder to do the podcast than it is to make short videos. I think having the combination of them works well for me. And I think the podcast is a pretty saturated market. And the main change I've made with my podcast, apart from finding my right frequency, is I'm not chasing celebrities and famous people like most of the classic format of interviews. I'm interested in the trenches case studies, real world examples, especially my own students. So I often publish case studies of my students. I want to showcase the result they got because I'm proud to have helped them get the result, but I feel that it's great to have what I would call everyday case studies. They're not impressive, you know, mega $1 million, make $10 million Lamborghini mansion type case studies. They're like, hey, someone was able to move from a full-time job to working from home, or someone added an extra $5,000 a month to their income doing this thing, or one of my students, he doubled his business by publishing a book. That was a great story. And then the next case study after that was another student listened to the first case study and got inspired and published a book and transformed his life as well. And he's got a young kid, as I do at the moment. You know, it's worth mentioning, I've just done this whilst having a newborn who's just 2 months old. So building your life and your business, you know, melding them together in a way that works is definitely my passion. So yeah, I think if you're going to go in the podcast route, one of the big changes was we now distribute it natively. So we're not just driving everyone to iTunes. I'm now publishing the entire episode on YouTube and on Spotify and on Facebook. So people don't have to move away from the platform to listen to the whole thing. And they can also stream it from my site. So we see our iTunes downloads come down a little, but our organic reach and our native consumption must have gone up.
That's great. And the one thing that really stands out to me is something that you said that I do kind of think is becoming a shift in the industry, is that people don't want these mega million mansion Lamborghini case studies. They want to know that they can achieve realistic results that get them a successful business. And, you know, frankly, there are people out there making $1 million that don't bring it all home. Right.
Look, the true story behind most of the things you see in the media would frighten, sadden, and then anger most consumers. I mean, I've seen under the hood of a lot of people's businesses, and I'm connected to quite a few networks. And yeah, if you see someone making a couple of $1 million on a launch, what that translates to is that's launch math. That's the numbers they're counting is if everyone pays in the fullness of time on the installments. So that's not money in their bank.
Right.
It's not allowing for, so about 20 or 30% of the people won't pay out their installments. 20 or 30% of people will refund the product because they got overhyped and whipped into a frenzy and it wasn't the right thing for them at the time. They just got bombarded with 17 emails on launch end of deadline and caved in a moment of weakness, like we've all bought a domain after midnight, right? So you can take from your $2 million, you can safely take 600 grand off that number. Let's talk about more like the 1.4. Of that, half of it goes to the affiliates. So there's 700. Then you have to pay the copywriter, the extra support team, the beefed up server stuff, the course designer, the tech people, the analytics and stuff. By the time it's all said and done, that person's lucky to end up with $200,000 and then they're going to pay tax on that anyway, right? So you might as well take launch math and take 10% of that, and that's probably the actual take-home amount, all for that big effort that they're going to do like once a year and that huge adrenaline hit on their body and then the collapse and fatigue post-launch. That's why it's a really shitty business model. And a launch has a place. It's a great promotion to add to an existing awesome business, or it's a good thing to do to start a business. And that's why I interviewed you about the challenge. I think that's a much nicer way to launch a new business than to go through a massive launch. And that's why I don't rely on huge launches. When I do a promotion or when I release something new to the market, so I much prefer the word release, then I end up getting a sustained thing. So interesting, when I put out a book, I'm actually making more sales now than when I first released that book because I didn't do a hyped up campaign in the beginning. But now people are actually enjoying and reviewing the book, and it's got 100 reviews on Amazon, and it's a bestseller in a category in the Australian marketplace, and people are really digging it. And I'm getting more people share on social media now than when I launched it because it's going to be a good book that lasts over time. Mm-hmm. That's work less, make more. And you know, it just speaks to my philosophy. If we could just turn off the marketing messages that I think are very damaging from all those people who are bombarding us, that's not the way to go in my experience. That's not a fulfilling or lasting way to go about business or live your life.
I think that's so good. And it's actually really been the motivation behind, we talked about this before we started recording, that we're shifting the focus on the podcast from being this, how to do this and how to launch and how to run Facebook ads, to being really candid conversations with successful entrepreneurs, because there is a shift happening where people are getting privy to these marketing messages. They're getting privy to the fact that a massive launch does not make a massive business, and even a massive business doesn't make a successful business. So I think this has been so great. You've shared so much good information with us. I want to start to wrap up and be mindful of your time. We already went a little over, so I apologize, but just
I didn't notice.
One last thing to wrap up. If someone's listening to this episode and is like, okay, I completely embrace this mentality of like, there's marketer math out there. We need to just start building our audience where we are. We need to start being consistent. What's the first step that someone should take to like move away from marketer mentality and move into successful business owner mentality?
I do like a critical audit. Like one of the trainings that I produced that was very popular with my members was an audit. It's a diagnostic audit of every aspect of your business. And I actually published a version of this as a podcast episode. And I think it is actually one of the most popular podcast episodes I've published of late. And it's a process of being honest with yourself about where you are at with each aspect of the critical functions of your business. And if you can do that, then you'll find growth opportunities. I would say the first thing is ask yourself, is what you're doing good for humans in general? Like, is it actually good for the population? And I think a lot of those people on some of those kind of get richy forums and whiz bang hyped up online marketplaces would look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm a bit of an evil person because this is just a crap product or service. It doesn't even work. But they're so obsessed with making money, they don't care. So first thing, is it good for humans? The next thing I'd ask, is it good for you? Like, is this a long-term sustainable thing, or are you building on sand here? So I'd say a lot of people are going to have to change their business strategy or model. We're going to hear a lot of yeah buts and excuses at this point. We're going to hear, I don't have any money. I've maxed out on my credit card. I don't have any time. I've got too much pressure. I have another job. All of this, just like, it's just excuses. The same person saying that's probably spending 5 hours per day on social media or Netflix. 5 hours per day. That's the average. If you just stop doing that for a few weeks, you could make significant headway in creating great content for your audience, making a new product from scratch if you wanted to, and get out there. And I do believe that it's possible. Even now, as much as you could be overwhelmed and saturated, usually the step would be just dump most of the stuff you've been doing and start fresh. The episode that I shared this with on my site's episode number 627, and it's what I look for when I'm auditing a business. I'm looking for green flags and red flags, and I actually go through the checklist, everything from your lifestyle through to your business structure, to your work environment, to your products, services, and pricing. Like, I laid it out bare for free. And I think that's where I would start, because that's where I do start when I'm rebuilding someone's business. I just make no assumptions. I get in there, roll up the sleeves, and look at absolutely everything, like Con Marie does. When she goes to someone's house, she's like, show me what you got. And that's where you start.
So good. So good. We will link up that episode of the podcast. James, as we wrap up, if people are really resonating with your message, which I know I am, where can they find out more about you and get more content if they're loving it?
I'd say superfastbusiness.com is going to have answers to some of those questions.
Perfect. We will link up superfastbusiness.com, which I love the domain because it's super easy to share, super easy to spell, and super easy to get to. James, I just want to give you one last big thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to have you.
Well, thanks very much for the opportunity to share. Thank you for having been on my show as well. I appreciate what you shared with us. And it's also our mutual friend, Angela Henderson, is such a great mutual friend of both of ours. So I'm sure she probably had a hand in this too.
Oh, she most certainly did. She's been a guest on the show, and I'm pretty sure she made the introduction, if I'm not mistaken.
I have a feeling she did, and she's yes. a great connector, isn't she?
She is. She's fantastic. And we'll link up her episode as well in the show notes. So again, James, thank you so, so much. All right. I don't know about you, but I thought that was an amazing interview from James. It really changed the way that I thought about content marketing. And one of the things that I really want to pull out from this episode for you is when James said, it's not about getting in front of a million people with every message. It's about getting in front of the right people with strong content and a great call to action. He talks about how even someone of his size and successful business puts out videos that get 20, 30, 40, 50 views, but he doesn't care because it's views from the right people and it's views that he can retarget with his promotions. So I just thought this was a great episode. If you want to get the show notes, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/122. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/122. You can check out the show notes from this episode. And I just want to encourage you to get out there, get focused, and create consistent content. Now, if you really enjoyed this episode, don't be afraid to take a screenshot of it and tag me on Instagram. I'm at heartsoulhustle. Let me know if you enjoyed this show and if we should have James back on, because I could definitely see him coming back on in the future to talk more about his T method, the power of consistent content, and the power of focus again. I hope you guys have an awesome rest of your week, and we'll see you next time on the show. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.